What did I talk about last week? Masks. Does anybody remember, like, my points? Light bulb in the house. Yeah. What is it? Yeah. That's right. Everybody give a hand to Vanessa. Great job. Light bulb. I asked you the question, why do people wear masks? We had a bunch of different answers. Remember, some people wear masks because they're afraid if you see the real, if you see the real them, that they won't like you. Sometimes we wear masks to hide things about ourselves. I'm having a really hard time even speaking. Yes.
So you can be scared.
Yes. So you can, like, scare people. That's good. It's great. And then I showed you the different types of masks we wear. Do you remember these? These masks. They're coming. There they are. You remember those? All the, what is that, 10 different types of masks? Tonight I'm going to focus on two of those. Because something happened this past week, and some of you might have heard of it, some of you might not. But it just really, really, like, went along with what I talked about last Wednesday. And I was kind of blown away by that. We're going to focus on the mask of blindness and the mask of morality and judgment. And the mask of blindness says, I'll refuse to see the things that are not working in my life and put on a smile that says everything is okay. Surely then my problems will go away. So that's kind of like ignoring the problems in your life. And then the mask of morality and judgment says, it's easier for me to see everyone else's flaws and shortcomings than to look at my own. Or it's easier for me to point out, maybe if I point out other people's problems, they won't see the problems that I have in my own life. So since last Wednesday, there's been a pretty big story in the news that kind of goes along with this. And so I decided we'd talk about this again. So I want to read you guys a story. You guys like stories? I'm gonna read you guys a story about a guy named James, okay? His name isn't really James. I think we have a picture of him. There he is. Very nice. I'm going to read you guys a story about James, okay? James was born in Indiana. Anybody born in Indiana here? Anybody ever been to Indiana? That's cool. James was born in Indiana. He became a born-again Christian in 1972. After he heard a sermon from the late evangelist Bill Bright in Dallas, he was educated at Oral Roberts University, a charismatic Christian university in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Michelle went to Oral Roberts University. In 1978, James married his beautiful wife. The couple have 5 children, and one of them is a pastor today. In November of 1984, he was the associate pastor of a megachurch in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. James then moved to Colorado shortly afterwards and founded New Life Church. Initially, the church space was James' own basement. Then it grew into rented spaces and strip malls. New Life Church is now a campus located near the Air Force, United States Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. Pastor James is the president of a 30 million member National Association of Evangelicals. It's pretty huge. 30 million members. I can't even wrap my mind around 30 million members. San Antonio is, what, 1.5 million? So that's 15 times the size. No, like 20 times the size. Like 20, right? 20 times the size of San Antonio. This, probably more like 17 times, probably 18. Okay, anyway, it's a lot of people, okay? He's the leader, the president, the founder of this National Association of Evangelicals. This is the largest evangelical group in America. He is also the founder and senior pastor of New Life Church in Colorado Springs, 14,000 member church. It's a big church. It's huge. Pastor James has been interviewed by Barbara Walters, or Bobwa Walters, as some of Tom Brokaw, Bill O'Reilly, Chris Matthews, and many more. Time included Pastor James in their list of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America. They said no pastor in America holds more sway over the political direction of evangelism than does Pastor James. He has two honorary degrees, two honorary doctorate degrees of divinity. Lot of accomplishments. You know? Did I get it? Is it good? So we have this man, okay, accomplished tons of stuff for God. Huge man of God. So many people, 30 million people look to him as like where they get their like direction from. Like, okay, he's the president of this huge group. And then he has his own church of 14,000 people. Now, anybody know who I'm talking about? Who this man is? Yeah, okay. Pastor James, his real name is Ted Haggard. Yeah, a nice looking guy, right? Got a nice smile. He looks pretty cool. Now, on November 3rd, which was less than a week ago, November 3rd, 2006, he resigned his leadership of the National Association of Evangelicals, 30 million member group. He resigned from there and stepped aside as senior pastor of his church because of allegations of a former male prostitute named Mike Jones that Haggard had engaged in sex with him for 3 years and used methamphetamines. Jones says that he only recently learned of Haggard's true identity and explains the reasons that he came forward by saying, "It made me angry that someone's preaching about gay marriage and going behind the scenes having gay sex." Haggard said, "The fact is I am guilty of sexual immorality." So a lifetime of work for the Lord, a man who is just enormous in the kingdom of God, millions of people look to him as someone who they get direction from, inspiration from, guidance from, leadership from, but he was all the time wearing a mask. I can see better in this one last week. Now, if wearing a mask can bring down this great man of God, how much more can wearing a mask bring us down? Think about that. Now, this past Sunday at his church, New Life, in Colorado Springs, he had written a letter, and they read the letter to the church. And right now, I'd like for you to listen really close, because I'm going to play an excerpt from the letter that he wrote.
My dear New Life church family, I am so sorry. I'm sorry for the disappointment, the betrayal, and the hurt. I'm sorry for the horrible example I've set for you. I have an overwhelming, all-consuming sadness in my heart for the pain that you and I and my family have experienced over the past few days. I'm so sorry for the circumstances that have caused shame and embarrassment to all of you. I ask that this note be read to you this morning so I could clarify my heart's condition to you. The last 4 days have been so difficult for me, my family, and all of you, and I have further confused the situation with some of the things I've said during interviews with reporters who would catch me coming or going from my home. But I alone am responsible for the confusion caused by my inconsistent statements. The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality, and I take responsibility for the entire problem. I am a deceiver and a liar. There is a part of my life that is so repulsive and dark that I've been warring against it all of my adult life. For extended periods of time, I would enjoy victory and rejoice in freedom. Then, from time to time, the dirt that I thought was gone would resurface. And I would find myself thinking thoughts and experiencing desires that were contrary to everything I believe and teach. Through the years, I've sought assistance in a variety of ways, with none of them proving to be effective in me. Then, because of pride, I began deceiving those I love the most because I didn't want to hurt or disappoint them. The public person I was wasn't a lie. It was just incomplete. When I stopped communicating about my problems, the darkness increased and finally dominated me. As a result, I did things that were contrary to everything I believe. The accusations that have been leveled against me are not all true, but enough of them are true that I have been appropriately and lovingly removed from ministry.
So, why am I talking about this tonight? It's not because I'm here to tell you that Ted Haggard's a bad man. That has really nothing to do with it. It's because this story's been in the news pretty big. And so if any of you have seen the news recently, you've probably heard a little bit about this. But this just fits so well with what I talked about last week. And I think that when stuff like this happens, we need to say, well, why did it happen? And how can I keep that from happening in my own life? And so I'm going to kind of recap for you last week's message real quick. And I asked you a question. What's probably like the number one reason we as Christians wear masks? Do you remember what the answer was to that? It's to hide our problems or to hide sin. And I said your problem might be hatred, greed, revenge, envy, jealousy, lust. It could be anything. But this is why we as Christians wear masks. We're trying to hide our sin. And I showed you two different verses. And the first one was Matthew 21, 31, and 32. And it says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going to enter the kingdom of God ahead of you. Because John came to you and showed you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, the sinners of Jesus' day, thieves and robbers, lustful men and women, when they heard the gospel, they were turning to Jesus. They were getting their lives straight. But the religious leaders, when they heard the truth, they acted like they had it all together. They hid behind their fancy robes and, you know, we're a priest and I've got it all together. They hid behind that. And they didn't repent. It says, and you did not repent and believe him. And then I showed you a verse that Paul said. He said, my grace, or he said that Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul here is saying, I'm being transparent about my weakness. I'm here to tell you that I am not a perfect man, but with God's strength, I'm able to overcome my weakness. And when that happens, then God gets the glory. See, in Ted's situation, he hid his weakness. He didn't boast about it, like Paul says. He hid it. He hid behind a mask. And so then when that comes out, it's not God who gets the glory. It's an aftermath that Ted was talking about, all the, you know, pain and hurt he's called him and his family. And so I challenged you. What did I challenge you to do last week? I challenged you to take off the mask. And who did I challenge you? Two groups. First, we got to take off the mask with God. We got to be honest with God. God, I need help. Help me. Second thing, with someone you trust, with a good Christian believer. I use the example of me and Mike Fernandez. We get together. We talk about stuff that we're struggling with. What are you going through this week? You know, what can I pray with you about? We're real with each other. I'm not saying go and put all, you know, your problems on your MySpace blog. I'm saying find a good Christian friend to confide in. Psalms 86:11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." I want to read you some quotes out of Ted's, that excerpt that I played for you. He said, "There's a part of my life that is so repulsive and dark that I've been warring against it all my adult life." That's tough. And while what my challenge for you guys tonight is, we need to take care of these areas when we're young, before we get married and they go into our marriage and we carry these problems all our lives. Confide in somebody. Find somebody. Tell them what you're dealing with. Tell them what you're struggling with. Somebody that can help you. Somebody that can spur you along, that can encourage you, that, you know what? You might have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. But God's power is made strong and is made perfect in our weakness, like Paul said. Ted said he would enjoy victory from time to time, but then the dirt that he thought was gone would resurface. And then, because of pride, he began deceiving those he loved the most because he didn't want to hurt or disappoint. But what he didn't realize was he was going to cause them even more hurt and pain by hiding behind his mask. When he stopped communicating about his problems, the darkness increased, and it finally dominated him. The reason I share this with you guys tonight is because I don't want this to happen to any of us. I think that if we're honest, if we find somebody who we can confide in, first confide in the Lord, just pray, "God, show me, send someone to my life that I can share this with." And you know what he's going to do? He's going to open the door. I promise you, if you pray that tonight, "Lord, bring that friend, that person to my life that I can confide in," he will bring that person into your life. You know why? Because that's the way the Bible, that's a biblical example. That's the way God has it set up, is that we confide in one another and that we encourage one another. So I just really want to drive this point home tonight, is that we don't hide or bury things that we're dealing with. We bring them out, we discuss them with people whom we trust, and then I believe that's how God brings healing to us. And that way, we're not warring against this area of our life for our whole life. God doesn't want that for us. God wants to bring you liberty and freedom and deliverance from whatever you're dealing with, and he can. But not if we keep it hidden, not if we keep it buried. It has to come into the light before it can be dealt with. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for, Lord, your mercy and your grace. And God, I thank you for your power, Lord, that overcomes all sin. I thank you for Ted, Lord, who's repented, who's dealing with this problem now. Lord, I thank you that it's an example to us, Lord, that we need not to let this happen to us. Lord, remind us to pray and to get real with you. Lord, remind us to take off the mask tonight with you, and then to ask for help and to ask for that person to confide in. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives and the lives of this group. Really drive this message home in these young people's hearts. Help us to be real. Help us to be genuine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't have anyone to confide in, you can look me up on MySpace. I'll talk to you, chat with you. It's cool. That's what I'm here for, right? If you're a young lady, don't send me crazy messages. Talk to Crystal or Cassandra or Michelle or Mandy. Any other lady leaders that we have? Hope I didn't leave anybody out. Or Heather. These are all great people who you can confide in, who won't go spreading your dirt around, who will help you deal with your problems, okay? So have a blessed week. Read your Ephesians this week. and just keep going in order. I will do my best to send out text messages and fall retreat. If you want to go, come talk to me or Cassandra. We'll try and get you there. We're going to have an insanely great time. And if not, we'll see you on Sunday. So be blessed. Have a great week. Take off your masks on the way out.
Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Your voice like rushing water sounds. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. In your hands you hold the stars. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful.